Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is one of St. Paul's few letters that he writes to a specific person. You have 1 and 2 Timothy, you have Philemon, and you have Titus. Titus traveled with Paul. He was well known to Paul. And yet, even when St. Paul is writing to Titus, he does not expect that only Titus will read this letter. And so St. Paul begins by giving his credentials, that he is a servant, that is, a slave of God, bound to God. That is, that his will must be of God's will, that his purpose in life is to put on display, both in his manner of speech and manner of living, that which God has commanded. He is a servant, a slave of God, and an apostle. That is, one who was sent, an apostle of Jesus Christ, sent to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. For a reason. That reason being for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness. The purpose for which St. Paul is both a slave of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ is for the sake of the faith of those whom God has chosen by the means by which he chooses. He chooses us through his word and his sacraments. And so he is sent out in order to give, build up, and encourage the faith of all of God's elect, all of God's chosen ones, all of those who believe in Jesus Christ, so that their knowledge of the truth would accord with what is godly. And that their knowledge and their faith would be in step with the hope of eternal life. That is, with the eager expectation of good tidings in the future. That the promises of God are sure and certain because God does not lie. Unlike the Cretans, who are all liars and lazy gluttons. God does not lie. He keeps his word. In fact, we were chosen before the ages began, before God said, "Let there be." We were known to God. Our names were written in the book of life. And so he gives his credentials, not for the sake of Titus, but rather for all of those whom Titus would show this letter. As they went about the work that St. Paul wanted Titus to do on Crete. "This is why I left you," St. Paul says to Titus. "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order." That is, that you might put into order all the things that are not in order, all the things that have been left undone. Our God is a God of order, not a God of chaos. When he creates everything, he puts everything into its proper place. He makes distinctions. He gathers like things with like things, and he separates different things from different things. Titus is to go to Crete and put into order all the things that have been left undone, or perhaps even the things that have unraveled since he was last there. The things that Titus is to put in order is first the leadership. That is chapter 1. To appoint elders, that is overseers, over the flock of God. To find sound men of character who will help in the task of putting everything into order, that which has been left undone. The second thing that Paul will want Titus and then those whom he chooses to help him in this task, the second thing that he will have to do is to reestablish the biblical code for the household. That is, to reestablish the family. The family is the foundation of all society. Not only in the scriptures, but also throughout all the Greco-Roman world. That is chapter 2, putting the household in order. So that the people of Crete could see how the people of God lived, and though they lived differently, they were to be praised for who they were and what they believed. The final thing in chapter 3 that St. Paul wants Titus and those whom he chooses to put into order that which was lacking is the teaching about Jesus Christ. That is, you did not have to be a good Jew to be a good Christian, but rather, God has a new creation, a new humanity in Jesus Christ. So that their theology would be correct. That their lives would be ordered in every way as those who are newly created by the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel which takes away our sins and makes us into a new creation. When he baptizes us and we are born from above. That is what is lacking on Crete. It has no leadership in the church. The families are falling apart at the seams. And that their understanding as new creatures in Jesus Christ is simply not there. St. Paul desires that Crete, despite the fact that they are all liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons, that they would be transformed by the renewal of their minds as a new creation into Christians, into God's people. And St. Paul does not desire this to happen by some sort of out-and-out culture war. He does not desire this to happen by taking up arms and taking control. He desires this to happen by two ways, by walking a very fine line between isolationism on the one hand, as Christians, and complete and utter assimilation on the other. That is, isolation from the culture or complete assimilation of the culture. As he says in Romans, that we are not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of our minds. so that by testing we may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In other words, he wants Christian leaders, Christian families, and Christian individuals to infuse the culture of Crete so that others will see their life and want to be like them. It is actually quite a beautiful picture of St. Paul's understanding or his missionary and even evangelism plan. And so the first order of business for Titus then is to find the leaders, to put into order that which was left undone. Appoint elders in every town as I directed you upon this island. That is, appoint pastors. If anyone is above reproach, that is blameless, not sinless, not perfect, but not living in such a way that the people of the town or of the community will point and say, "What the heck is he doing?" So if anyone is blameless, that means the husband of one wife, that his children are believers, that they're not debaucherous, that they're not given to giving in to their desires, or insubordinate. Because an overseer, as a steward of God's house, must be a steward of his own house. He also must not be arrogant. That does not mean he may not be confident, that he may not with confidence say, "Thus saith the Lord," but that he must not be arrogant in a way that never listens to someone else's understanding, that he is teachable, that he is not quick-tempered, that he is not a drunkard or violent or greedy for money. In other words, that he is self-controlled, that he knows his weaknesses, as well as his strengths. He must be hospitable. That is, he must have an open door policy, that he must invite them and people into his home and serve them, that he must be disciplined. No one is going to oversee his work but the Lord. On the last day, he will have to give an account. So he must be disciplined. And above all, hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught. That is, he must hold firm to the doctrine that was handed down to him so that he may give instruction in sound teaching as well as rebuke those who would contradict it. Because there are many empty talkers. The word here is actually dunderheads. Blabbers, babblers, deceivers, those who will not subordinate themselves to a better word, Those who will not subordinate themselves to the sound teaching, those who will not abide a rebuke from a brother, they must be silenced, because they are upsetting entire families. They are the problem with the second goal that St. Paul is wanting to have Titus and these elders do, which is make sound families. They are giving all kinds of false doctrine. They are teaching Jewish myths. They are focusing on circumcision. And then there is the other side, those who are saying, well, once we're saved, we're always saved, so it doesn't really matter how we live anyway. And then there are just the Cretans who must be convinced, not only with the word, but with the deeds of those who hold to this trusty and trustworthy message. This call for elders is not just a call for pastors. It is that. But every single man who is a believer in Jesus Christ is called to be the elder of his home, is called to be the shepherd and overseer of his household. This is a call to all men who are believers in Jesus Christ to live in this manner, that they would be a good father to their children, not just in giving them the things of this world, but also the things of the world to come. To continue to hold fast to that trustworthy message, to continue, even in the home, to rebuke those who contradict it. It is a call for every single Christian man to devote themselves to the things of God, so that instruction in the true faith may be given and may be received, so that families will remain stable and the new life in the new creation because of Jesus Christ may flourish. That they too, within their own households, their own flocks, may put into order the things that have been left undone. Jesus has appeared to us as the grace and loving kindness of God our Father, who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We want to live in that light. Sometimes, however, that light can be uncomfortable because it shines upon things that we have left undone. But just as when someone who is suffering from a long undiagnosed difficulty with health finds some comfort in a final diagnosis, no matter how bad it might be, so also we as Christians, when that light shines on the things that we have left undone. Rejoice, because it has given us an opportunity to confess our sins, to receive forgiveness, and to put things back into order. So let us go about doing that, looking at our own lives, the things that we have left undone that need to be put into order. Let's make a list. For our families to be put back together, for our community to be put back together, that reformation begins with me. Let our prayer be that the Lord would make it begin with me. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus into life everlasting. Amen.